Actually, Priebus and I came to a rather rapid conclusion that we had to build a what is known as a high-voltage transmission type of electron microscope, which was also something that the Germans had built in primitive form prior to that. And we didn't quite know how we were going to do it or with the resources, but nevertheless, we went to work with what we had, which was mostly our own hands and our own minds. And this was now only by the Christmas of 1937. We worked over that holiday, I remember. And we put together a preliminary concept in a design form and took it to Professor Burton, who at that time was the head of the physics department in Toronto. And lo and behold, he agreed to letting us do it, even though I don't think he knew where he was going to get the money or any of the pieces that were needed. But in spite of that, being our own draftsmen and our own machinists and sometimes our own glass blowers, we managed in the next few months to put together a primitive transmission, magnetic transmission type electron microscope using some scavenged transformers and rectifier tubes and glass plate capacitors, believe it or not, at the time, which we quickly found out didn't work very well. But nevertheless, by April or so of that year, we had at least an instrument that was, in quotes, working. That is, we could get an electron beam through it. We could magnify an image of a hole in a piece of copper, and we could take photographs of them occasionally. And that was really the beginning. But we very quickly learned the other things we had to do. And to make a long story short, over the next year, we really improved that instrument to the point where it was giving resolving powers that were considerably better than that could be done with a light microscope. We had magnifications in a real form up to about 8,000 or 9,000 times, which was already several times more than you could do with an optical microscope. When I think back, what we really did was use a great deal of ingenuity to solve the technological problems. What we did scientifically at that point was pretty old hat, but we did a lot of inventing to solve the technical problems, and the electron microscope is one instrument that is very full of technical problems, and even to this day it is, for that matter. But we're in a sense leading the field by then because we were working completely independently. You realize that things were getting, the communications with Germany were getting a little bit tight, even this was in 1938 now. But we found out, and we were very frustrated at the time because we usually found out that when we'd made a big step forward in making this microscope perform better, we found out the Germans had already done it. It's just usually the lag in publication time was how much they were ahead of us. But that didn't deter us. But by the end of 38 and going into 39, we had an electron microscope, obviously very much homemade. It required very sensitive fingers to make it operate. But nevertheless, we did have a microscope that was performing reasonably well and began to get interested in what kind of uses we could make of it, what kind of objects we could examine with this. And as it turned out in later years, this really was the name of the game. The instrument was just a tool to enable you to look at things under high magnification. The real name of the game was to find out how to put significant things into it and how to prepare the specimens and just to put things in perspective, you have to realize when we started, we did not know, for instance, that it would be possible to look at anything that wasn't a refractory metal, because it only took a little bit of calculation to know that the energy in that electron beam was enough to heat up any organic material to the point where it just was fried to a crisp and very quickly. So you didn't have much chance of seeing it before you destroyed it. The fact is that the work that was going on, you know, this is a case where there was lots of international exchange of information. Somebody had the bright idea that if you made things in thin enough films, most of the electrons would go through and therefore wouldn't heat them up. It was only the ones that were stopped that would heat the specimen. So we learned how to make extremely thin films of collodion, and then we learned how to put bacteria on them and look at bacteria without burning them to a crisp. And that really followed the history of electron microscopy, because all the way through, the instrument got better, the techniques got better, all in conjunction with one another. But that's getting a little bit ahead of the story.